keep Rain Man Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make all this wonderful content and even better content in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/RainManDigital to pledge.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it today.
Superman.
That's right.
Who are you? The lasso of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
All right, guys. Not the voice you expect to hear, but this is DC on RMD, the Flash Edition on Rain Man Digital. Find us on demand through all your favorite podcast providers. Remember to subscribe, rate, review. It helps us out. I am your host this week, the one and only Bobby D. And with me in the studio is Steve.
What's up?
And returning to the show for the first time in probably 2 years?
7 years.
Pulled her out of the Speed Force to return, Lauren.
Hi.
All right, Ryan is off in Texas playing Steers or Queers. You can guess which one he is. So we will be handling it this week. Season 6, episodes 7 and 8. We're going to combine this because, you know, this is the last temptation of Barry Allen as we kind of go into crisis here and Bloodwork becomes a villain. So I'm going to go to you first, Lauren, just because you haven't been here. What have you thought so far? Because I know you've been catching up on the seasons, and what have you thought about the direction that this show has been going?
So,
and don't feel bad if you're negative, because we've been negative. I don't know if you've listened to anything we've done, but so I want your raw opinion here.
So starting out with the first episode of this season, it 100% felt like they just threw you into something with no context, just expected you to know what was going on. And it felt like I had missed an episode and was coming back into something that was like, I should have full memory of what's going on. So that was a weird start. And overall, like, I don't know, the season's been okay, but it's been just focused on Barry dying, Barry dying, Barry's dying, Barry's going to die, Barry's dying. What are we going to do without Barry? We're all incapable as human beings without Barry. And I get, you know, kind of pre-grieving your friend. It's nerve-wracking, you know, to know that something like that is going to happen. But I don't know. There's things I do like. I appreciate that Iris is much more supportive and less like, I don't know, whiny and like, no, Barry, we're going to do this anyway. Like, this is what I think is right. She's just kind of standing by her man this season. And like, that's cool. That's great. Cisco has the best girlfriend in the entire world. She's the goodest girl.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when someone's ex-girlfriend's dad shows up in your bedroom.
And was super supportive of that situation.
The whole time. She's like, I'm here for you. I'd be worried if you weren't upset. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, just the best. What a great person. And
So you've seen the inconsistencies in the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to get somebody else's opinion out of it, because a lot of times when we do these shows, we either feed off each other's positivity or we feed off each other's negativity.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know if it was just me, Ryan, and Steve just going on this hate train at some points.
Well, we talked about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago, right, Bob? What's been the general consensus and reaction from the fan base?
Like, the thing is, this show is actually rated pretty highly on the interwebs, but I don't know if people are just blinded by things and look at things. Like, I think after being at this for 5 years or whatever we're on to now, 500 shows, we look at TV shows with a real critical eye, and we know what we expect. We know what we expect out of CW, and we know what we want from our characters. And then when we don't see it, I think we are like uber critical of it just because you guys can do better. It seems like you're cashing it in. And me and Mike have talked about this in the past, and I feel like you two in this room are on that same like wavelength with us, that when we watch shows fall, we see shows fall first and then the masses catch up. You know,
I think that's fair.
Where we could, when, I mean, I want to say Walking Dead is one of those things that where I think we've all realized like the storyline was dead a while ago.
Yep.
Oh, a long while ago.
And then now magically the ratings dropped. But we cut that out of our life so many years ago because it's like this shit doesn't even make sense anymore.
I was pretty surprised about a week or so ago. Even Kevin Smith basically came out and said the same thing, like, oh, Walking Dead is kind of dead. And it's like, I think once his show was no longer on AMC, he was free to kind of say that.
Yeah. But,
the reins are off. You don't have to, yeah. You know, corporate television isn't coming back to you going, sir, do you like your show?
Yeah.
Would you like to keep it?
But, I think we saw all of these start to fall around the same time on this network, and we've talked about it in the past, right? After about that sophomore, junior year.
Well, yeah, because right now we, me and Lauren cover Batwoman, and you realize how smart they are and how good they are at creating storylines around a character, and then once you start getting into that sophomore, junior type season. That's when, okay, we get broken off into sub-stories, you know, or subplots that we don't care about.
Yep.
So, anyway, I just wanted to see what you thought about, you know, this first half of the season.
I gotta say, though, like, at least with The Flash, I don't hate any of the characters. Like, I don't have that strong of a negative opinion about any of them particularly.
Yeah, when they show up on screen, you're like, fuck. So, I'd fast forward, but I'd have to watch another commercial.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, like... When they do, I mean, I don't particularly care about Cecile.
No, that's the one I was going to call out. I don't hate her, but this episode in particular, I understand she's an extreme empath, so she's feeling everything around her. But get your shit together, lady. Like, yeah. Get out of that fucking building.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's cool that she's doing the meta attorney thing when it becomes relevant to things that are going on with, you know, meta incidents in the city and stuff like that. Bringing Allegra in worked with that and stuff like that. But yeah, there's too many storylines at a certain point. It's not as bad as Supergirl is with that, but it's getting close.
I mean, and that's been the problem with a lot of these shows for the longest. I mean, we complained about it a couple seasons back with Arrow. Once you get that many cast of characters, some of them can just be there as support. I don't need to know what they ate for breakfast and what's going on.
Why they're arguing over the sushi joint on the corner.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, I care about my core character or characters, but beyond that, it's just too much.
All right, so these episodes were directed by Chad Lowe. Is that the Chad Lowe? Probably is. Because
who's Chad Lowe?
Rob Lowe's brother.
Chad Lowe was on Supergirl last year and directed some of those episodes.
What?
Written by Jonathan Butler, Gabriel Garza. Episode 2, or, you know, part 2, was written by Michael Natkin. Written by Kristen Kim and Joshua V. Gilbert. I am going to click my Chad Lowe link and make sure that is the Chad Lowe.
That is the Chad Lowe. I'm checking it out.
Yeah. So, well, it just shows you once you're part of this family, they'll bring you in to do anything. I'm surprised that wasn't broadcasted a little bit more. But
wait, so I got to be a part of Rob Lowe's family and then I get in?
There you go. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You got to be a Lowe.
Damn it.
Have them adopt you.
All right. So
you'd probably fit in. You'd fit in well enough.
Maybe.
You got good jowls. I don't, the joke makes no sense to anybody but the three people in the room that were here before the show.
Woo.
All right. So Bloodwork was born finally this week and instantly put to rest, it seems like.
You know, I was telling some coworkers because they always ask like how this works, what we do and whatnot. And I was describing it to one of them and about how we can see how episodes save budget, save money from episode to episode, and we know why they're doing it because they're saving it for a couple episodes down the road where they really blow their wad.
Yeah.
And we've seen some cool stuff leading up to this one, but holy hell, you can see they saved all their ducats for this penultimate moment that really was like 45 seconds mm-hmm. or a minute.
Yeah.
When in reality, that's what blood work looks like in the comics.
So that was the upside. I told Nicole when she got home, I said, they did a hell of a job bringing that character to life on screen. I mean, we saw it with King Shark. We saw it with Gorilla Grodd. I mean, we've seen it with all the characters, the big name ones, I think, where it feels like, holy shit, they just walked right out of the page. And I think they did extreme justice by that.
Did you?
But 45 seconds?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you read Josh Williamson's run on Flash?
I did not.
Okay.
So that's what I want to bring up here, because this story was bigger than what I think we're getting credit for in this television type scenario. Like I wanted this to extend past, you know, the maybe not necessarily the whole season, but it looks like it ended this after episode 8. And I just don't know if that's something that I wanted, because we built this up for so long that I would almost rather seen Barry as you know, get infected and deal with that for a couple episodes where the team is struggling. And it was just like, okay, here it is. Here's the big bad. All right, cool. They've solved it. Now a crisis happens.
Yeah, I mean, we wasted, as much as I appreciated Cisco's girlfriend supporting her, we wasted an entire episode on that plot line that could have been an extra episode dedicated to Barry dealing with having blood work in him or something like that. And like you said, Bob, we're 7-8 episodes in with this double episode, I guess is what you call it.
Two-part?
Yeah, two-part. There you go. The season's only going to have, like, what, 22-ish?
22, usually, yeah.
Right. So when have we ever seen our big bad be wrapped up in less than half the season?
That's the thing, is like, are we really doing this? Because the beginning of this season, we had Godspeed clones running around.
Right.
Yeah, and that was never addressed. They were just like, all right, well, we just caught another modem speak Godspeed dude. Just put him in with the rest. Ugh. We'll right. never get to the bottom of this Godspeed problem.
So is that what we're going to get maybe the second half of this season? Or
depending
is
Bloodwork
going to get out?
Depending on what happens. I mean, Bloodwork was never meant to be a very long-lasting villain to begin with, I think, given that they gave him a death sentence with cancer instead of him just being a hemophiliac.
So that's the difference between this is where I miss you being on these shows, because you know more about the comic side and we, you know, we know the characters, but we don't know necessarily the story side. So how did this play out in the comics?
So Bloodwork is pretty different in the comics. Bloodwork has like blood control powers. Like he can make somebody else's blood like boil and like burn with not boil but like burn inside them. He can control
like
blood. Well, he can control
if
blood.
You meant to know that, that's
and,
a bad thing, right?
And he's not really penetrable, but he can't create blood zombies.
Which that was an annoying for me, that was an annoying plot point, particularly for this episode. Or
you didn't like the horror aspect of what they were doing?
I didn't, and here's why. There was a minute. No, I didn't. I know that was facetious, but there was a moment where it felt like I was watching somebody try to make a low budget Last of Us on TV. And when they went down the hallway, and suddenly all the lights in the building were red.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but my lights, I guess I don't have Philips Hue. Maybe I'm the odd man out, but my lights don't turn red when shit goes sideways. And these weren't emergency lights. These were just lights.
Yeah.
And so stuff like that takes me immediately out of a story and out of an episode, because it doesn't make sense. And then just to have them running around as zombies, I mean, it's such a overused trope for me.
It's just cliche at this point.
Yeah. And I don't know why they're not injecting him with something that can just coagulate him and bond him up into a big old scab and call it a day.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's different for sure. It was weird.
But he looked good.
Yeah.
He looked really cool.
It didn't bother me as much as it bothered you, like the whole zombie thing. Just, I think just from the perspective of Well, at least it's not a speedster. At least, like, they're doing something different.
That's fair.
This was new territory for them, so I appreciated that. But I do agree the zombie thing is an overdone trope, for sure.
When in doubt, right? Go to zombie. And yeah. We've been zombie before on Flash.
I know, that's what I was going to say. And then on top of it, and I text Bob this, like, the whole him stealing Dibny's powers and then basically doing the same with Flash, which was kind of cool when he was running around like his negative Flash color. That was kind of cool. I like that. But we just went through a season where the big bad was stealing meta powers. It's like,
yeah,
we just saw this and now you're giving us the same thing again. And it stings a little bit more for me because I watched Heroes and that guy was on Heroes. And I'm like, I've seen a character from his show that had this thing. And it just... So, yes, there was some newness. They're showing us something new, but they're also showing us a lot of stuff we've already seen before.
That's fair.
So,
yeah. And so the way they set this up, you know, you talked a little bit about the Dibny thing and him just to get taken out right away.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I know what they were trying to do there. It was like, hey, this guy's not ready. You know, you took over the city as the city hero, let's say. You know, you got anointed or knighted or whatever you want to say, you know, to take over for Barry, and Barry seeing that, oh, shit, this isn't going to work. Now, the actual, like, infection part of Barry, like, I liked the psychological things to watch him go through. Yeah. And, you know, trying to figure out what was real and what was fake, and it was done basically with good writing and some acting, and again with those little like horror elements that like make me feel a little bit anxious inside of, like, I don't know what's going on. And then my thinker side of it is like, are we going through like sins here? What are we doing here? Mm-hmm. You know, as like the Thanksgiving dinner's being eaten, and you know, you're watching them all just like eat the bloodborne.
That was gross.
You know, the goo and everything else from blood work coming out of the mouth. And it's just like, oh, this is good. And how he kept appearing, you know, it gave off that very like Freddy 1-2 after you feel there. It's like every time he showed up in a scene, you're like, oh, fuck, something major is going to happen. He's infiltrating what was going on.
I'm uncomfortable you just describing that dinner. I mean, I text you about it.
Yeah.
That stuff, that grossed me out.
And not cool with it.
Yeah, not cool with it, especially having, we all just celebrated Thanksgiving, and we love Thanksgiving dinners and all the good stuff that comes along with it. And as an actor sitting there knowing that you have to eat that, I can only imagine what it was. And so in my head, I'm sitting there trying to break down, okay, is it just chocolate pudding? Like, what did they put in this thing? And then as an actor to have to sit there and eat it, like, I was ready to throw up right there watching it.
Well, and I think with those scenes, they established that the characters were kind of acting different, and mm-hmm. when you watched it, you would figure out, okay, something is up. Now, again, on this is why I think that, in my opinion, that they cut this a little bit too short, because it was kind of going into a place where we don't see the superhero genre go to where we know that Barry can't really be overpowered a lot, and to go with that psychological type thing of him trying to invade his body,
mm-hmm.
it just that part of this worked for me, and I think that's why I was upset there when we got to the end and it was just like, done, crisis, boom, let's go.
Over.
Well, and Cisco hiding those crazy needles up in the pinball machine, what's that all about? He's got a stash.
I love it.
He's got a stash of some good stuff.
It's a contingency.
He only pulls it out when he's ready to party, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I mean, he told Iris when she was like, what is that you got there? And he's just like, you know what? Like, I told myself the last time that something happened and Barry got kind of taken over that, like, we need to have something in case something happens to the Flash and he goes dark.
Oh yeah, well,
we got to think about it realistically.
I'm with you, Bob, though. I like the psychological aspect. There was several points where I had to stop myself and go, what the hell is going on? And it wasn't a bad what the hell. It was like it made me have to stop and think about what I was seeing and what it meant. And why is his mom here? Is this all in his head?
What is he dealing with here? Right. And then it was a good reminder that she was the Speed Force without like hitting you over the face with it, mm-hmm. being like, oh, remember, she's this, you know, the face of the Speed Force. Mm-hmm. And then watching that struggle of Barry, who overall is a good dude. Now, I don't know how you guys feel, but if I'm given the option of like the way that it was kind of pitched to him, oh, you could heal the people you save. You could do this. You could survive. I would have probably let him inside of me.
You would let another man inside of you if it would save the planet?
If it would save the planet, I would be Captain Dick in the ass. Wow.
Captain.
Well, Captain. I want a ranking.
Right.
Why not go for Admiral?
Yeah.
Look, I don't want that much responsibility. But, you know, again, just that whole the whole pitch and everything worked for me, and it almost disappoints me that we didn't just see more of this.
Yeah, same, Bob. Especially when it really quickly he's like, "Gotcha! I let you inside of me. It was a trap." And I was like, "What
was it though?
What
was yeah. it though? Or did you just kind of regain control when you realized that you gave in to your vulnerabilities, and then you were like, oh, right, this guy doesn't want to actually save the world.
It's not really going to work.
It seemed like a bullshit argument, right?
Yeah. All right. DC on RMD listeners, if you love our shows, please share all these links with your friends and review. With every share and review, you help us climb those charts. Wherever you listen, whether it's Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, Grindr, Tinder, I don't know.
Can you do that?
I don't know. Have you ever looked up our shows? Like, if you look it up, there's so many different, like, aggregate companies that take the shows and repost them. It is weird. So, I mean, you can find us anywhere. If you find it, you know, again, rate, review, do all those wonderful things. Check out the podcast descriptions for this episode for different details and purchase through those links. Now, we get there, and I fanboyed a little bit out when Negative Flash popped up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that would have played out a little bit longer than it did. I potentially not like a full season thing, but I could have seen this being like if we didn't have Crisis and the crossover wasn't here, which now I'm starting to think maybe the crossover fucks this thing up. Because if you think about it, like TV wise, if we would have left the end of the year with Barry getting invaded and taken over, and the last thing we saw was him, you know, with the gooped up teeth in that Negative Flash suit.
Yeah.
Going into the next year, I would have been like, holy shit.
Good cliffhanger.
How is the team going to get Barry back?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is where the crossover fucks things up, or if they would have put it at the beginning like they, you know, originally planned, you know, at the crossover last year when we covered it, when it says see in September, it would have worked out a lot better because it would have given us something to like fear, I guess.
I feel like the crossover, while we may be fearing it because we may lose Barry in the crisis, it seems they had so much that they had to kind of wrap up and tie up with blood work in order to set the crisis up to be a self-contained thing.
Yeah.
And it seems a little haphazard.
I mean, they had to do that in every show, and on some of them it worked and on some of them it didn't. Mm. Batwoman worked beautifully. We saw a villain's plan that she had been talking about come to fruition, and it worked. It worked the way she wanted it to. And now we're left with crap. We've got to take care of some stuff. But also the villain feels like she's accomplished what she wanted to. So she can kind of slink off into the shadows for mm-hmm. a while. And it feels reasonable. So Batwoman can get called away for a crisis and deal with that. And
she's got time on her hands.
Things are at a standstill.
Right.
Yeah. So
this one felt rushed by comparison mm-hmm. to get to that standstill where the team has some time to react or deal with this. But they've known about it for this whole time. And we talked about this a couple of weeks back, Bobby. It's like, you know this crisis is coming. Why has nobody picked up the phone to talk to any of their buddies
yeah.
that are in their super friends group? We know Oliver can't, but that doesn't mean that Barry couldn't reach out. to his mentor and say, hey, buddy, like, I got this thing
to
I'm
Kara,
dealing with.
His friend on another planet.
Because Kara doesn't even know about it still.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing you see in Supergirl is the monitor taking away Martian Manhunter.
So, I mean, but it, so I think us knowing about Crisis and just hearing about it episode after episode after episode makes it feel like they're only half in stopping the bad guy that's right at hand anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, really, at the end of the day, who gives a shit about blood work? Because something bigger's coming.
Right.
And we may not be around anyways to even worry about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it gives us those weird moments with Cisco and Iris where he's like, no, we need to worry about stopping Barry, not about accidentally killing him, because guess what? He was going to die anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, I guess you're right. Like, But then meanwhile, with Arrow, us working towards Crisis the whole season has worked out well because it's a farewell tour. You know, it's an homage and a goodbye to everything that's happened throughout the series. So it has worked effectively in that show because it actually is the last season. No matter what happens to Oliver, whether he actually dies or whether he gets, you know, a second chance to live out his life, it doesn't matter because the show's ending. So that has worked because he's like calling in favors and, you know, meeting up with unlikely allies that he hasn't seen in a while or old enemies. And like,
his whole goal was Crisis.
And he's going to a different place each time, doing different things, different missions. That works. But meanwhile, Barry's just been in Central City this whole time, just going, okay, guys, well, listen, I'm going to be dead soon. So, you know, we just got to talk about that every single day.
Yeah, take over. when I'm gone, delete my hard drive.
Right.
Clear my history.
There's some weird shit I don't want Iris knowing I jerk off to.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I just need help.
Speed jerking.
Yeah. I mean, I would do it myself, but I mean, in case I come back, I don't want
to lose all that.
I mean, this is years of research.
Again?
I mean,
you know what?
There's only certain things that can make me come.
Right. So you just made me think of something when you were talking about that, not about you coming. But
I was like, huh?
No. So So one, he could back that stuff up at Star Labs on their servers, but that's what made me think about this, that frustrated me with this episode. So they threw the blood in, you know, he threw the blood into the particle accelerator to almost, again, rehash a similar plot point from last season of, like, dispersing it out amongst everyone in the city and whatever. And I'm sitting here thinking, we didn't learn anything after the first time this damn thing exploded. And then we rebuilt the damn thing. And then Egghead dude from last season tried to turn everybody into metahumans or take their powers away or whatever.
So what you're saying is Star Labs is
Get rid of it. Yes. Shut that goddamn particle thing down. And it's it. It's done. Like, it's not helping anybody. It keeps coming back to haunt
us. Nah, man, we can get this to work.
Oh, my God.
You mean they're not rebuilding Chernobyl for a reason?
Right. Right. They're not.
You know, toxicity.
No, they're putting a new sarcophagus around it, a brand new one, because the old one, you know, met its lifespan.
Yeah.
So they should probably think about, you could still use Star Labs for all kinds of cool science, but that one piece of science, maybe consider not doing.
Especially when we know it turns into the Flash Museum anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
Just start the conversion now.
Get a head start on it. Now, so we had Allegra kind of figure out or, you know, confront Iris. And I'm glad that ended real quick, that she, you know, I know this is Barry.
Yeah.
Because it was weird to have a character be so understanding so quick in the CW verse that she wasn't really mopey dopey about it. It was more of a catalyst for Iris to get her shit together and start writing that article and understanding what was going on. Now, I, as much as I don't like the 1,000 new characters we have. Again, just because it gets convoluted with storyline wise, it was actually a proper use of somebody new, somebody from the outside coming in and being like a voice of reason instead of being a detractor or somebody that's going to just be, why haven't you told me the truth?
She was so matter of fact about it and just threw it right out there. Like, look, I know it's Barry and you need to write this article. And then when she was called in to help, you know, with blasting that thing with UV, she just stepped right up to the plate and did it. I mean, she was nervous. She's been nervous every time when she's been asked to use her powers, but she did it and she contributed.
Yeah.
I couldn't ask for anything else from her. It was very short and concise.
Yeah. And I think that's what we want for supporting characters is the support. You know what? I just realized we talk about this chick is from, is this chick from Walking Dead? No, it's a different one, huh?
I don't know where I've seen her. She looks really familiar.
She definitely looks familiar. I'm sorry, I'm looking her up. Because the more I look at her, the more I'm like, is she hot?
I think she's very attractive.
So do I. Okay, so I'm not. I always
I like how you had to ask first, though. Is she hot?
But I just have random things sometimes where I'm like, I don't know if she's hot or is it like a TV thing?
No, I think she's an attractive
girl. No, she wasn't on. Girl. She wasn't on. She's nothing I recognize.
Really?
For her 16 credits. But she kind of like, when you look at her pictures on IMDb, she looks like one of the people from Walking Dead.
What's her name? Kayla Cheerio?
Kayla Compton?
Oh.
Oh, you're thinking of her Instagram name. Kayla Cherie Compton. Oh. Or Sherry, yeah. Whatever. That's her like middle name.
It was truncating it, and so all I saw was it looked like Cheerio.
I was like, what the hell?
Kayla Cheerio?
I was like, she's a cereal fan, I guess.
Oh, no, she's definitely, yeah. She comes from Hottie McHotterson town, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
But again, for such a new character to have like an impact on a story in such a like an absolute way was just nice to see. So
and why didn't they just have her blast him with UV rays? UV rays can't be good for the blood, right?
Right. Cancer, yeah, you would and all think. That.
Like, why don't they just?
He's like, oh my, it's spreading now.
Yeah, just cancer his ass up big time.
That's her. I mean, what a horrible thing if that's your superpower.
I create melanoma.
That mole's gonna get worse. The other thing is now this scene appeared basically everywhere, where Indiana Wells, you know, basically becomes a pariah and releases the anti-monitor. This was the carryover scene that went to every other show. So if you're going to watch the crossover and you think you're missing something, most of them, basically everybody but Supergirl ended the same way. Supergirl only had the one scene to where kind of or Martian Manhunter gets taken or, you know, recruited for the fight. But everything else comes to this is... is this the end of Indiana Wells or is like as he becomes the, I think the pariah character for this, is he going to be recovered here at the end?
I don't know, man. I thought it was pretty interesting when he was getting into that door. One of those symbols reminded me of the Greatest American Hero logo.
Okay. So I was looking at those things too, trying to figure out are those hero symbols? Like what are right. those things? Are those just like chicken scratch for something?
I don't know, but one of them definitely looked like Greatest American Hero. But as I was watching that whole sequence, like I started to find myself at one point thinking I'm more interested in Indiana Wells right now than I am the plot of what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, there was something really interesting about what's he doing in there? What's he trying to find? What's going to happen? I want to know how he's going to play this part and basically like, does this all happen because he's dicking off with that door and trying to get into it?
This is it. This has been his thing.
Yeah.
You know, just waiting for this and it's his fault.
Yeah. The monitor's just been waiting for this one chance where this guy shows up to do this.
So what's interesting is that he's supposed to be playing pariah, right? And Pariah's whole situation is that he had a transgression and the monitor is punishing him for it. So the monitor is sending him to each world as it disappears for him to witness it And he's like, all I can do is cry. I can't stop any of this. I'm just forced to watch all of these worlds and all these people die over and over. He watches it as it's happening. He gets sent to another world. That world gets like destroyed. He has to watch that. And then he just gets sent to the next world. Like, that's his punishment for just years and years and years. The monitor is punishing him. So what are they planning to use him for in this crossover?
Yeah,
right.
Dude, that would have been such a cool thing. Like, if, you know, when Earth 2 disappears in Arrow, if he was just like standing in the background.
Just crying.
Yeah. You're just like, what the, why is Wells there?
He's basically the watcher of this situation. Not the monitor, kind of. But the watcher from the Marvel Universe. I have to watch all this stuff unfold and I can't do a damn thing about it.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what is actually going to be the purpose for him. I just don't know.
It was a way to get Tom Cavanaugh into the crossover.
Right.
This is where I'm at with some of this. And it's, I know what I want from the crossover. I don't know if I expect it. You keep throwing in all these stars, past and future from DC TV at this. And you wonder how they're going to handle it, or are people going to be upset that, you know, Tom Welling's in it for 3.5 seconds?
Is that a fact?
I don't think he's in it very long.
Damn it!
You're not going to see a true like Superman standoff where you have Smallville, Supergirl, Superman, and then Kingdom Come Superman just standing there staring at each other.
You mean just like a shot of some of them together and like that's it?
I'm not gonna get my Man of Steel circle jerk that I've always wanted.
And Dean Cain's like, hey, I was in it too, and I'm actually in your shows, asshole.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is like they've built it up, and the crossovers have always been the best storylines that they've had for a lot of these seasons, and they haven't disappointed. But again, when you're building up this big thing, you always wonder how they're going to handle it and, you know, make it make sense. Because it was in Arrow or Supergirl to where they said, you know, I'm going around trying to find 7 heroes to save the world. Mm. And so, I don't know. We'll see how it goes going into the crossover. It just... Again, I think we've talked about it enough and beat this dead horse that maybe the, Flash was too much, you know, looking to the crisis and wasted kind of a character. But Steve, overall, you know, before we get into our final thoughts on this episode and do our rating, you know, first half, like we kind of went over it a little bit at the beginning, but just you know, what were your feelings after seeing the way that this wrapped up?
I was not feeling the first episode.
The first episode of the two-parter?
Correct.
Okay.
The second episode of the two-parter landed it better for me. There was just, I text you, like, you know, I'm watching it through the CW app, and every commercial break I was getting State Farm Beige Betty. And I text Bobby and I said, I'm more entertained by Beige Betty than I am with Flash right now. And by the time we got to the second, I felt much better about what I was seeing. But the first part was just really rough for me. And I think it was, some of it was after I got to the second half there, Bob, I thought the same thing. Like, I want more of Flash dealing with the psychology and that aspect. And then again, like I said, I want to know more about Indiana Wells and what he's doing in there, but that's really not a part of the story of this two-parter. That's more crisis oriented.
Yeah. And when I say first half, I meant season. Sorry.
Oh, the first half of the season.
Yeah. All right.
You know, I feel like we had a lot of foreplay for many, many episodes.
So you're saying you got kind of like blue balled?
I got red balled. I got blood work balled. Oh. It just...
You should get that checked out.
That sounds worse.
I wanted maybe this to happen earlier in the season. I feel like there's a lot more that could have been done with him as a big bad. that maybe, Lauren, I mean, keep me honest here, maybe the zombies wouldn't have been the route to go. Maybe they could have dug deeper into more of the true lore of that character, and we could have got more episodes of him inside Barry or inside our characters, and not make it about being zombies, but make it getting into their psychology and fucking with them. I think that would have been a much more interesting take on it, potentially, than what we got. So hopefully, as we go into the second half, my hope would be that we could maybe book in this character for a hot minute and get into the other speedster and, you know, get into Godspeed.
Yeah, because that was just, like, forgot.
Completely forgot.
I mean, until I remembered it, like, legitimately going, okay, I know I'm going to do this first half recap. I want to remember what happened. Okay, Godspeed. Godspeed was kind of, you know, dummy. What, like, well, wait, what the hell happened to that storyline?
Well, and he popped in. Remind me here, Bobby. He popped in towards the end of last season, right?
Yeah, it was one of the final episodes of last season. He appeared for the first time.
And so then we get into that first episode of this season, and then they're just putting those fake ones away, and then, boom, we don't hear about it ever again. It would be a huge miss if we go into the second half, and that doesn't pop up at all. It would be like, why did you even bring it up?
Okay.
So that's where I'm at.
Cool. Lauren?
Yeah, I mean,
how, I know you caught up recently, so a lot of this stuff is pretty fresh for you, right?
Sort of.
Okay.
And I caught up a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I caught up a couple weeks ago, watched episodes like 1 through 4, like all the, like just binged those back to back. I don't know. I mean, it was easy for me binging those like 4 episodes or so, you know, like just kind of blowing through them. Maybe it was 1 through 5. I don't remember. But either way, just blowing through them, like that was pretty easy. That was fine. I could just one to the next, and nothing really fazed me too much. I was just like, all right, we're just binge watching. But I mean, also nothing really super stuck with me too much. It's just, it's just lackluster for me.
Yeah, it was kind of noise in the background.
I'm more excited to watch Arrow than I am to watch Flash, which is something that has not happened for me in a very long time.
Is that because you know Arrow's ending?
Their story structure is actually pretty decent.
Yeah, it's because I've actually genuinely been enjoying this season to a point where now I'm feeling a little bit sad that Arrow's ending. And before I was like, I don't care. It should have ended like 2 seasons ago. But now I'm like, oh, man, why couldn't it have been this good the whole time? Like, there's not as much overacting. Stephen Amell has so many good heartfelt moments where he's not just trying to be tough and gruff, and he's just, I've accepted my fate. I know what I have to do. I'm making the most of the time that
I
have.
Very mission-based, though.
Yeah, and it's just like, it works. He's not butting heads with anyone just for the sake of his own ego or pride. Whereas this season in Flash, I just feel like we're replaying the same conversations over and over. Barry has to die. Well, what if he doesn't? But he has to. But we don't know that. But you have to deal with it. But do I? Barry's going to die.
We've changed the past before. We can change the future. Yeah, that's worked out for us well.
Right.
Every time it's worked out.
I mean, you changed the sex of a kid on another show.
Yeah, right.
I completely forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was born a female. Well, you technically were.
Technically, yeah. they could have done better this season. Honestly, it's just like it's nice and cute little moments here and there as Barry's trying to say his goodbyes, but like those can't make up an entire show.
No, and it really bothered me that they kind of address it a little bit, but when they were all sitting there in the little living space, the little living room.
Right before crisis happened?
Yeah, and you know, Barry's like, I don't want to sit here in silence, guys. It's like, you guys have been dicking off this whole time. You guys should have been on one big-ass family vacation cruise, living it up, having a good time if you really thought Barry was going to die.
Yeah, if you believe in destiny, he's going to be there whether you're in the fucking Bahamas or you're in your city.
Right. so you guys are doing nothing, wasting time. And then when he's gone, then what? Oh, well, we should have done this instead of sitting around looking at each other.
Yeah. And like, cool. He and Iris took like a 2-day trip and like, that's awesome. But you're losing your husband forever, potentially. And everyone right. else
baby
is losing
in
him
me,
too.
Baby.
Right. We have to make this baby
that,
now.
That scene at the end be like, you Barry Allen, you put a baby in me. Like, holy shit.
Put a baby in me immediately?
Yeah, somehow this
or
has got
to
happen.
Or you can't go to crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, all you people. I'm trying to have a baby right now. Get out of here.
I just watched her die as a young adult woman. And now my husband's going to die, and I'm not pregnant yet, to my knowledge. So you better just blast it in there.
We don't know. He's so fast. He could have been in and out right there in a flash, and we didn't even see it happen.
Maybe they've been trying multiple times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about ovulation cycle. He could probably phase through her and cause her cycle to happen.
He just
take one of his own sperm and just,
just plant it.
Yeah. Maybe.
Jesus.
He could phase and like flick her ovary and then automatically make one drop. I'm sure he's got something he can do.
Yeah.
It's science.
I just got a weird like cramp when you said flick her ovary.
I like when guys try to describe the women's cycle here. Like it's just that easy.
Hey, everything else science related on this show seems easy. So why not that?
Why not ovulation?
Right.
Yeah. So for me, this first half was weird because I still believe we have a Caitlin Snow Killer Frost problem.
The Bruce Banner issue?
Yes, as we've deemed the Bruce Banner issue, that they can't coexist, and I'm tired of watching them try to coexist. So figure it out. Either become, Endgame Hulk or don't, because that's where you're going at this point. Barry, this first half of the season, and I kind of understand at least, but it for me, the Flash has lost a lot of its charm to where this was kind of the happy-go-lucky thing, and now he's not very much there. The sarcasm's gone. Even with Cisco, we don't have those nerdy jokes that used to make us all pop. Like, yes, I get that reference.
Everyone's just kind of down.
Yeah, even with Dibny.
Yeah, I mean, the best episode we had was the James Bond one, where that felt like an old school Flash to me.
That was a good episode.
To where you're dealing with the problem and the sarcasm's there, the more lightheartedness is there. And that's the kind of Flash that I miss at this point, that I just don't see we're getting. And everything, like we said, it's just so dark and just like, bleh.
But Bob, DC's dark. It's always been darker.
Yeah, I completely understand that. But we've also had those characters. Like, we don't have to go with that. That's the tagline. Come to DC. We're darker. Like, that's not that's not it.
That's what DC stands for, right? Darker comics? No?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, whatever you want. Yes. I don't know. I just think maybe when he comes back from crisis, because we, much as we know Barry dies in crisis in the real life comic issue, it's not going to happen here because it's been renewed for 22 episodes. Business says something different. Mm. So I hope when they come back, it's more of that joyous, let's celebrate Barry for being, a badass superhero like he is. And he has some kind of relief that this isn't dwelling over him like it's been for the last 5 seasons or whenever the newspaper showed up, and then of course the date has changed. So I just want that to, hopefully Crisis closes out some of that part of the show, and get it back to being more lighthearted. And, I'm not saying go Legends of Tomorrow on it, but like meet me halfway. Give me something back to laugh at and enjoy and just hope it's not, drama filled, because I miss that part of the Flash. So I don't know. That's just my opinion. What do I know? I'm just behind a microphone with our final thoughts of the year for Flash on these last 2 episodes, The Last Temptation of Barry Allen. I am going to go first, and I am actually, I'm going to give this a 75.
You son of a bitch.
Ha! I feel like just like before the show, I have to have a bucket and we all write numbers in it and put it in the bucket.
I think we should do that, actually.
Because I swear to God, this happens on every show. It doesn't matter whether it's you guys or it's me and Angelica or, you know, me and Ryan. Like, we somehow, well, I think Ryan copies everything I do, but that's beside the point. We all come up with like the same numbers somehow. And I feel like it's one of those things of, well, he said 75. I can't repeat it. So 74. The second half was way stronger. I think we'll put them together as a whole episode. You know, one long thing actually works out because it builds up to this, you know, ending. I'm only downgrading it based on the fact that it ended too soon for me. It's the storyline I feel had some legs still underneath it that could have expanded and left us at that cliffhanger moment where we would have come back next year going, all right, we are back. And now we are dealing with Barry trying to struggle with this infection, you know, and how the team comes of a thing. And that storyline alone would have helped Ralph grow into a superhero on his own, because he would have had to deal with stuff. Why Barry's being fucking crazy and run, as a negative Flash, you know, being run around by Bloodwork. And I just think, you know, there was potential there. And that's the only reason I'm kind of taking some points away. I would have rated it a little bit higher, but this was one of the shows that, like, I can get over the zombie part just because I like the psychological things that they were going through. Those are the type of, like, I want thinking things that you're just, like, watching in amazement going, like Steve said, oh, shit. So, Lauren, you want to go?
Sure, yeah. I'm going to give it a 75 as well. It was a solid C for me, realistically. Like, it was all right. There were things I enjoyed. Overall, I didn't, like, hate the episodes. But, yeah, I mean, it just kind of, he's there, and then he's not. He's all of a sudden the biggest threat that we have to deal with, and then all of a sudden he's not. And I feel like we definitely could have spent more time with this villain. We could have spent more time with Barry in turmoil. We could have done a lot of things better, and you know, CG and everything was good, stuff like that, but wasn't enough. It was okay.
Yeah, it could have been so much better, but it is what it is at this point. Crisis, yeah. Ruined it. Ruiner of Crisis.
Ruined it.
Ruiner. Steve,
I can't go any higher than 65.
Dude, you're welcome to your own opinions.
I can't. There was too many
things. I'm
not
judging you, but I am.
There was too many things that brought me out of the strong points of the
Beige Betty?
Beige Betty took me right out. No, just the psychological aspect, there's so much strength in that part of the story and the writing.
Well, that and even the acting wise, like, yeah, it was the best that Grant has acted in the longest time.
I agree, but there was just it was surrounded by so much that detracted from that, and it really frustrates me, like I said earlier, that they've had all this time with each other to spend time, and they've been so distracted by everything that they're losing every ounce of opportunity to spend time with somebody before he's going to disappear. And it may be nitpicky, but like, even Iris sitting there writing up that draft of the article, like, that's not how any of this works. That's not how any design layout program, like, you wouldn't do that. You would write it in something where you could grammar check it and spell check. Like, those things that take me out of it's nitpicky, but I do need some reality to make it more believable. Yeah, it's a superhero story.
You wanted the Doogie Howser ending?
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just need stuff to be a little bit more grounded in reality. And like the lighting thing I said earlier, like, those things really detract for me, and it pulls me out of the story.
Okay.
But I am looking forward to Indiana Wells popping back out and seeing all that stuff coming out of Christ, especially when he went into there and they did like the whole Raiders of the Lost arc, like, don't look at it, Marion. That was kind of cool. So, but I just can't go higher than 65. I hope that they turn it around in the second half of this season.
Yeah, no, definitely. again, maybe with Crisis not looming, they can get back to storytelling and not worry about this overarching Arrowverse issue that is coming their way. So, all right, that's going to do it for today's DC on RMD Flash Edition. Remember, you can catch all these episodes, past, future, present, on DCOnRMD.com. Find us on our social medias. Let us know what you think of the episodes, and we will talk to you during Crisis.
Mother of God, would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour. Now it's less.